Our lesson study today deals with afterlife. Paul, a great example of talking about that subject, is one who spoke regarding some of his very people, the people of Israel, in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record, he says. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul was sad for them. His heart's desire and prayer to God was that they might be saved. Paul had a love for the salvation of souls, especially the fact that these people were of Israel, these people who had the old law of Moses, who had the prophet's words, yet they could not see the fulfillment of Moses' prediction about a Messiah coming in Deuteronomy 18, beginning verse 15, and could not see the prophet's words regarding the coming of the Messiah, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Yet they could criticize Paul heavily. They could look for the destruction of Paul's earthly life because they were resisting him as a blasphemer of God, because he was upholding the prophets and the presence of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10, beginning verse 1. He said they had a zeal for God, but he didn't go about talking about that particular, at that point, the type of zeal they had, except to say that it was not after the righteousness of God. Well, they were zealous, all right. They were zealous in their ways to kill him. They were zealous in their ways to object to his teaching. They were zealous in their ways of saying he was a blasphemer. But they were zealous in ways of which they were not informed. They simply did not allow themselves to be informed by the prophets or by Jesus himself or by the message of the inspired Apostle Paul and others. They came not in the word only, but with much power and reassurance that these were the messages of God. Paul's desire for them was that they could be saved, but only if they came to awareness of the righteousness of God and then practiced the right doing of the Lord. In afterlife, where would be their position? Paul was fearful for them because he prayed for them that they might be saved, but they were not subjecting themselves to the righteousness of God. What about in your life? Are you subjecting yourself to a religious system, a lot of zeal, a lot of influence for good, a lot of doing the things that are zealous for right? But it's the right of mankind. It's the right based on philosophies of mankind. And instead of the right based upon the word of the Lord, where Jesus prayed for us in John 17:17, saying, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Instead of following the word of the Lord in this New Testament system, we find ourselves following the philosophies of man and are zealous toward those things, but not zealous toward the Lord himself. Sad it is to be the result of that, for we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10, to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul writes, we persuade men. He sought to persuade us to follow the way of Christ, the way of fulfillment of the prophet's words, the way of the fulfillment of God's instruction, and do the righteousness of the Lord. We need to practice that way of life. Paul himself practiced that way of life, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, when he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, he was talking about preaching that truth, that solemn truth of the Lord. Then he went on to say the following about his own life. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He was a man who had fought the good fight with a good attitude. With attitude, the Lord said, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not be divisive or strifeful, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. This is the attitude we're to maintain, and Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've maintained the attitude I ought to have. I've maintained the instruction of God that I ought to give. I really enjoy the presence of the Lord in my life. And thus Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I finished the course. You know, looking ahead in life, we know that there's probably, unless the Lord returns to interrupt things and we go to meet him in the air, we're going to go to the grave first. And we'll raise from the great dead in order to go to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But the fact of the matter is that death can overtake us. And as we find that, will we have finished our course? Will we have done some labor for the Lord's cause, teaching the gospel to others, showing them the right things of the Lord and the right things of Christ Jesus? Or will it be the case that we failed in this regard? I trust that we, like Paul, will have fought a good fight and have finished the course and kept the faith. Paul said that he kept that faith. He pursued in the practice of that faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that God the Father had given to his Son when he promised him he would be with him and raise him from the dead. And Jesus, our Lord, said that that would happen, and it did happen. And he was raised from the dead and laid his grave clothes to the side as he exited that empty tomb. You know, we find our Lord Jesus loving his Heavenly Father and saluting his Heavenly Father in such a majestic way. He had finished the course and he had kept the faith. Paul said, I finished the course and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but in all them also that love his appearing. Do we love his appearing? We look forward to that time. If we're people who are serving the Lord faithfully and loyally in fighting a good fight of faith, in laying hold upon that and keeping that faith, then it will be that we die with a great hope and a great joy. Would you follow the example of Paul, like he illustrated in Romans chapter 6, how a believer should be immersed into Christ and begin to walk in newness of life? Read there in Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, and then read through verse 16 of that chapter, how that we once were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness. That righteousness that someday is going to crown us with a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us on that day. Will you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you obey what Paul says is the new way of life listed there in Romans 6? Won't it be a wonderful thing for you and me if we look forward to that time in our lives and death?